You know, we can recognize hatred pretty readily. You know, it just kind of stands there and you can see it. You can cut hatred with a knife a lot of times. But sometimes the problem is that we can't see hatred within ourselves. And there's the real problem, is the hatred within ourselves. And this came out so much to me in the last few months leading up to the election. Seeing friends and family members post on Facebook, so much hatred. I mean, it's one thing to disagree with some things or, you know, to not like someone's personality or what they said about this or that. But when it comes to hate, just so much hate was poured out. I found myself not unfriending, but just blocking their comments because it was nothing but hate. And oftentimes, no good reason given for it. But we are only to hate sin. We are not to hate people. And there comes the rub. Oftentimes, it's easier to hate people but love sin, or at least accept it. But we are called to hate sin but care about people. And it's because hatred itself hurts. Hatred itself accomplishes nothing good. It hurts the one who hates, and it hurts the one who is hated, and it hurts all of those around. There is nothing positive about hatred. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, Solomon wrote, "Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs." You know, hatred itself stirs up strife, arguing that it's out of control, division, people taking sides, fights, anger. Nothing good comes out of hatred. And when we stop and think about times where we've been at odds with other people, maybe we've said things we shouldn't have said, we let our tempers flare, and we said things or did things and tried to encourage others to take our side. Folks, that's not just losing one's cool, that's hatred. It may not last, but it's still hatred. It's expressing something against somebody else in a very angry, mad, condemning fashion. And that always causes trouble. And that's not what God wants His people to experience. It should not be part of our hearts. It should not be part of our makeup. We struggle with that because of our human nature. But we are to control that. That's why he says, but love covers over all wrongs. Now that doesn't mean that, you know, it hides things. Rather, love causes forgiveness. Love allows discussion. Love encourages understanding and wisdom and growth. Love is having that patience, that compassion for another person, even if they do make us angry, the things we don't like about them. Love should enable us to recognize that while I'm a sinner, God loves me, He loves that person too. And therefore, because God loves me, I am obligated to love this other person. Even if they're an enemy, we are told to love our enemies. And so that means I'm going to spend some time learning about this person, trying to understand them, having a discussion if possible, being willing to forgive, being willing to understand, and even if they don't change, to understand why they will not or cannot change. And that allows growth for self and perhaps growth in friendship with another person. See, we always have that choice. When we're dealing with other people, when we're dealing with anything, whether it's the government or it's our own family or dealing with neighbors or someone at work, we can respond in anger and hatred, or we can control ourselves and act in love. Love for that other person. You know, there are times, I'm sure, in all of our lives where there's someone that we just didn't get along with, didn't like, but then due to circumstances, somehow we got to know them better, we became friends. You know, that's possible for us with almost anybody. To be able to have a decent relationship with other human beings, to care about them, even if we disagree. You know, there are people that have bizarre ideas, but we can still care about them and still have them as a friend. Maybe not a close friend, maybe not a bosom friend, but still as a friend. In Proverbs 10, verse 18, he who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. You see, as we try to hold things in, you know, sometimes we get very angry and we feel hatred towards somebody, even if we don't identify it as hatred, but we're feeling as our blood's boiling and all we want to do is lash out at somebody or cause them some kind of harm. The more we hold it in, the more it eats at us. The more struggle it causes within us and the more sin builds until it eventually explodes. And what happens first is usually lying. First, we lie to ourselves. We say, oh, well, how I'm feeling is justified. How I'm feeling is right and they're wrong. And then the next thing you know, what happens is we start lying to others. We may lie to them so that we're trying to cover up our anger. We don't want them to know, but meanwhile, inside we're seething. Or we lie to others about this person or these people because we're just angry and we're mad at them and we want to destroy other people's good opinion of them. And so we say things that aren't quite true. They might be half-truths, but they're still not the whole truth. Because we want to cause harm. That's how hatred builds within us. And as we start lying to others about people, it's slander. And God tells us here that whoever spreads slander is a fool. Is a fool. What is a fool? Scripture says a fool is someone who believes in his heart there is no God. But sometimes people who say they believe in God act, conduct themselves, think as if there is no God. Up here, intellectually, they know there's a God. But when it comes to anger, when it comes to hatred, now I've become God. Now I've become the judge. Now I'm the one who passes sentence on somebody else. God now is irrelevant. It's up to me to harm that person who I hate so much. It's up to me to bring them down. It's up to me to put them in their place. Or to the extreme, it's me to put an end to their life. See, one who slanders another is telling truths or half-truths in order to cause somebody great harm. But that's rejecting God as God. That's taking God's role away and putting our place in God's place. And that is a great sin. Because we do not have the authority to condemn anyone. To judge rightly, of course, to make good decisions, to see things as they are, and to deal with them appropriately. But to condemn, that is not our province. We have no right at all to condemn anyone. But to judge accordingly that which is right. To use sound judgment. And sound judgment, when it's based upon love and influenced by love, is about discussion and understanding and wisdom and growth and forgiveness. But when we want to condemn, then we've pushed God aside and put ourselves in his place. Proverbs 15:17, better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fattened calf with hatred. You know, love makes even a plain, simple meal a pleasure. I've often said over the years around Thanksgiving time that it doesn't matter if you're sitting down to a table with a huge amount of food and a huge turkey and a whole bunch of people, or if you're sitting home alone and just opening a can of baked beans. As long as there's love between yourself and God, between yourself and others, that's what is special. Many people will have big banquets, big dinners, and they don't get along. How many families get together at Thanksgiving time and there's been bickering, but they get together out of tradition, but they're still underneath all the bickering. Better to have a meal that is just simple, but with those that are filled for love, filled with love for one another, than to have some big banquet and there's strife. You see, it depends upon how we look at life. What's most important to us? Is it always going to be going my way? Or is it about loving God and loving people? Loving God means to want to do what God tells us, to want to know His Word and to live by it. Not just some of it, but all of it. And then in turn, to love those around us, that they may know that we love them and that God loves them, and that they need to be encouraged to walk with God too. I think I just said the two greatest commandments, didn't I? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That means our whole being, completely committed to God, sold out to God Himself. But it's easy to say, oh, I love God, but I'm going to do things my way. Or, I love God, but I like the way they do it over there. Now, this is God and God alone. And then from that, we love one another because God loves us and He loves others and He wants to save as many people as possible. There is no room for hatred. If there's any feeling that we should have toward those who are doing horrible things, it should be pity. Pity for those who are living in hate. Pity for those who are rejecting the Word of God for their own evil ways. Because they stand condemned before God, enemies of God, unless they repent. Hate the sin, yes. But to love the person, they need Jesus. And if they're a brother or sister in Christ, they need our encouragement. And if they're not a Christian, they need someone to show them the way. It's about loving God and loving one another. Hatred always hurts. So this day, if you are dealing with some ill feeling towards somebody, there's just this hatred building up inside you. It doesn't feel like hatred, maybe you don't recognize it as hatred, but it's still got you tied in knots. It still makes you mad when you think of this person, of the person or something they said or something they did. Well, that's something you have to deal with and let go. And if it's something that you need to make right with somebody, then you need to do so. And it always falls upon us to make the first step. We can sit back and say, well, it's not my fault. They have to make the first step. No. The first step of love must come from those who know how to love. And it's Jesus Christ who's made it possible for us to love. Take what we have, what we know about Jesus and His love for us, and remind ourselves that Jesus loves whoever we're angry with, whoever we're feeling hatred toward. Because what we're feeling might be natural, but it's wrong. We need to make the effort to love. And love always takes work and sacrifice. Maybe it means humbling ourselves and saying, I'm sorry. Maybe it's just humbling ourselves to someone and then in our own mind saying, but you're such an idiot. But you love them anyway. You see, you can't always change people, but you can change your attitude toward them and how you treat them. It still comes down to loving somebody and hoping that they come into a closer relationship with you and with God in love. We're going to sing a song now. I don't know how many of you may know this. We've not sung it since Rhonda and I've been here. It's called Jesus Draw Me Close. And it's a real pretty chorus. I'm going to ask Rhonda to play through it once.